Hello there. Get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by Procter & Gamble, the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco. Oh, shades of grandmother's kitchen. What an offer I have for you today. Right in time for the coming holiday season, Crisco brings you a free recipe for three kinds of the best-tasting cookies that ever lured a small boy to a cookie jar. And the best part is, all three kinds come from one single batter. That's a fact. About 50 festive cookies in three different varieties from one magical batter. And every single one of them crammed full of holiday cheer. There are chewy coconut fruit macaroons with candied fruits inside, rich chocolate fudge squares chock full of pecans, and as for the frosted mincemeat bars, boy, those are my favorites with their spicy mincemeat flavor. And wait till you see how easy these Crisco cookies are to make. There's no rolling out or chilling of your dough. Just spread it in a pan and bake. Then cut into squares, bars, or diamond shapes. Oh, and say, I'll bet a big box of these Crisco cookies would go over big with any of your men folks away in the service. Maybe your own son is in an army camp, or perhaps you have a brother in the Navy, and the holidays will look lots brighter to them if you'll send along some of these swell Crisco cookies. These three-way Crisco cookies don't break or crumble in the mail. They keep well, too. But that's not important, because once the boys sample them, the whole box will be gone by morning. So stop by your store today and look for the Crisco display card on the counter. Attached, you'll find free copies of the recipe for Crisco's three-way holiday cookies. And besides, on that same Crisco recipe form, are recipes for spicy mincemeat cupcakes and golden rich pumpkin pie with Crisco's new surefire method for tender, flaky pie crusts. If your dealer hasn't received his supply of recipes yet, he will soon. And remember, stock up with pure, all-vegetable Crisco, too. Well, sir, it's quite early in the morning as we enter the small house, halfway up in the next block now. And here in the kitchen, we find Mrs. Victor Gook all by herself. Mrs. Gook has just sent her husband and young son off to office and school, respectively, and at the moment is enjoying a relaxing telephone chat with her friend and confidant, Mrs. Frederick Stembottom, before embarking upon the duties of the day.
Well, it all depends on whether I get through or not, Ruthie. Oh, got oceans of work mapped out for this morning. Yes, the whole upstairs for one thing. I'm afraid if I do all I plan to do, I'll feel more like stretching out on the Davenport than going downtown. Yes. Well, we'll see. Oh, did you? How are they these days? Still living there on Oakland Avenue, are they? Just a second, Ruthie. What's the matter? Forget something?
I come back to get some warmer clothes.
Rush just busted in. Yes. Won't you be late for school?
Good morning, Sadie.
Well.
Glorious day. I met these scallywags down
you
the street.
You too, Vic.
Hi, kiddo.
Well, what's going on?
I thought I'd better put on some warmer clothes.
Is it that cold out?
Quite nippy this morning. I meant to look at the thermometer on my landlady's
back porch. Well, excuse me, Uncle Fletcher. Miss Stembottom's here on the telephone.
Fine.
Ruthie? Sorry to keep you waiting, but my whole family just strolled in. Uncle Fletcher, too. I don't know. No.
Hey, say,
well, about this afternoon, suppose I call you around noon. Yes. All right. All righty, lady. Goodbye.
Stove poker. Trot upstairs and bring me down my heavy sweater.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. What is this?
They're cleaning the Cutler building today, Sadie.
Cutler building?
Yes.
Cleaning it?
A bunch of fellas, you know, with rubber hoses full of steam. I guess it's steam. Looks like steam. Is it steam, Vic?
I think it's compressed air with some kind of abrasive in it. Scoot after my heavy sweater, George.
All right. I'm going to wear my corduroy jacket.
Well, isn't there any school today?
Sure, but I've only been absent twice this semester. This morning won't hurt anything.
You mean you're going to skip school?
Got to skip an important meeting.
What is this?
I have nothing to do with Rush State. You can handle his case.
Uncle Fletcher, what's going on?
Why?
What you fellas up to?
I bumped into Vic and Rush on Kelsey Street a minute ago.
Yes?
Vic on his way to work, Rush on his way to school.
Yes?
I told them I was going downtown to watch them clean the Cutler building. So they said they'd come along with me, but they'd better go home first and get some more clothes. You take Stan out on the public street all morning this time of year. Fellow's exposing himself to
Rush fitness. Is going to ditch school. You're going to ditch work.
My plans have nothing to do with Rush, say. I wash my hands of Rush. If you feel that he should attend school, perhaps you'd better speak to him on the subject.
If I feel he should attend school. Well, of course I feel he should attend school. Don't you feel he should attend school?
Naturally, naturally.
Well, what is all this?
Rush entertains some distorted and altogether unreasonable notion that if I have a right to absent myself from the office this morning, he has a right to absent himself from school. I in no way encourage this preposterous idea, but he
You're
insists...
You're going to play hooky from work?
The expression playing hooky is rather juvenile, don't you think? I consider myself
capable of... Well, how about that
of...
big important meeting you were talking about at the breakfast table?
I might have exaggerated the importance of that meeting.
Well, my land.
There's two buttons off in this corduroy jacket.
You brought my heavy sweater?
Yeah.
Uncle Fletcher, what is this business that's taking place downtown?
Fine. Glorious day.
You say they're cleaning the Cutler building?
Uh-huh.
Two buttons off in this corduroy jacket, Ma.
Do you realize you're late for school?
Well, I've only been absent twice this semester. One more time.
Big, are you just...
Semester, 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 one more...
Not this boy.
I said I had nothing to do with this case. Give me my heavy sweater, Rush.
Here.
Now, let me get this all straight. Uncle Fletcher, you met these fellas on their way to work and school just now, hmm?
Yes, yes, I did.
You told them something was going on downtown?
Yes, that's right. I told them a gang of men was cleaning the Cutler building.
You know where the Cutler building is, say? It's
there
on the corner.
Fine.
What do you mean, cleaning the Cutler building?
Haven't you heard of it?
I said let Uncle Fletcher talk. How do you clean a building?
Well, I can't give you the ins and outs of it, say. Now, whether they use steam in their rubber hoses or something else, I couldn't say. But this bunch of fellas climbs way up high along the sides of the building on scaffolds like house painters use and spray stuff. Dirt comes right off in that half-wit building, clean as if you'd washed it with soap and water. Makes quite a bit of noise and it's interesting to watch. I expect we'll find a big crowd. Everybody ready?
I am.
Let's go.
Rush, I believe your mother objects to you.
Look, Dad, all during breakfast, you hollered about the great big important meeting you had to attend in Mr. Rubish's office this morning. You said, by George, great issues were at stake.
I may have indulged in a little harmless braggadocio. As a strict matter of fact, I confess I did enlarge on the subject.
Oh, no, you don't. If you can ditch your great big important meeting where great issues are at stake to go watch him clean the Cutler building, I can ditch school one morning.
You're using pretty strong language with your father, I think, Rush. Our respective situations are not at all parallel.
Oh, no, you don't.
I believe I'll go ahead.
Yes, why don't you?
Kind of halfway promised Dan Fuller I'd meet him at the Cutler building along sometime after 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Under the circumstances, Rush, in view of your mother's attitude, I suggest that you direct your footsteps towards school and nothing but school.
Uh-huh.
I'm leaving now, Sadie. Will you telephone Miss Hammerstreet at the office and tell her I'll be in later on in the morning?
I will not.
What do you mean?
You know, cleaning the Cutler building kind of puts me in mind of old Ollie Wilmerding. You remember Ollie Wilmerding, don't you, Sadie?
No. Dick,
come
I...
Come from Belvedere?
No, I never heard of him, Uncle Fletcher.
A real Dick, tall, I... skinny fellow. Wore a heavy winter overcoat in the summertime and just one of those seersucker suits in the wintertime. Had a lot of little cards all printed. When you meet him on the street, he'd just hand you one and not say a word.
What did he say in the card?
Hello, friend. My name is Ollie. Life is beautiful and life is jolly. Howdy, stranger. Yes, by golly.
Uncle Fletcher, if you...
Well, sir, this Ollie Wilburning used to have a regular schedule of building watching. Made it his profession, by George. Fella go to work and build even a half-wit chicken coop. Ollie'd be there. Build a new house, Ollie'd be there. Tear up the street, Ollie'd be there. Chop down the street, Ollie'd be there.
Vic, I wouldn't have believed this. Just wouldn't have believed it.
Believed what?
You playing hooky and encouraging your son to do it, too. Just to stand on the sidewalk and watch some men tear down a building.
They're not going
to
tear down any building, man. They're going
to
clean
a building. Rush Cook, did you tell me no?
No, I never told you no, but... Well, if Dad can sit at the breakfast table and rave and holler about how he has to attend a great big important meeting where great issues are at stake...
That has nothing to do with you.
All right, then. I'll see you people later. I'll just say goodbye now.
Telephone's ringing.
Telephone's ringing.
All right.
You're getting very stubborn and headstrong, Rush.
I don't suppose you're leaving for a while, Vic.
Why, yes, Uncle Fletcher, I am. Shall we take our
I'll have to have it quiet.
Fine.
Hello? Oh, yes, Miss Trogle. No, I haven't even started the breakfast dishes.
Go to school, sir.
Well, I don't know, Miss Trogle. Miss Sambottom called a little while ago and mentioned going downtown this afternoon, but I've got so much work mapped out for myself, I guess I'll have to wait and see how I feel around... What? Yes.
You say you're ready to leave, Vic?
In one moment, Uncle Fetcher. I have to notify my office. I'll be somewhat later than usual.
That witch will have a lame brain cut the building all clean.
Surely, Miss Trogle. Well, suppose I let you know. Oh, around noon, say. Fine. All right, Miss Trogle. You bet. Goodbye. Haven't you left for school yet?
Mum, if God can ditch his baby.
Leave for school, sir. This instant. There's been enough nonsense.
Well, people like us all say goodbye now. See, I told Dan.
Be right with you, Uncle Fletcher. Will you call the office, kiddo, and tell Mr.
I will not.
Why?
Simply because I will not.
Very well. If you step to one side, I'll do it myself.
You're actually going to duck the great big important meeting in Mr. Rubish's office that you raved and hollered so much about this morning? Just to stand in the public street with a crowd of loafers?
Let me be the best judge of my actions, Sade. Let me be the best judge of my actions.
By George, I
You were told to go to school. Why are you standing there?
Be gone, sir.
Well, I got my coat buttoned up, my hat on. Wonder what's keeping me. Why don't I go? Goodbye, Sadie. I'll probably see you maybe tomorrow.
Telephone's ringing.
That's it,
Dash. Telephone is ringing.
Oh? Yes. Yes, I believe he is. One second.
Office?
Could be.
Man?
Lady?
One side.
Goodbye, Sadie.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.
Goodbye, Vic.
Hello? Yes?
Fine.
Oh, they are, Miss Hammerstreet? Well, I got delayed a little. Yes. Yes. Well, tell Mr. Rubish that. Yes. All right, Miss Henry Street. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Vic.
Goodbye.
I'm leaving now.
Oh, so am I. Say, I'm going to the office.
Office?
They're waiting for me. In fact, they're holding up the meeting for me.
Fine.
So I guess I'll go on along.
Guess I'll go to school.
Here's my heavy sweater.
All right, I'll take it upstairs.
My corduroy jacket, Ma.
Well, anybody going my way?
I am, Uncle Fletcher. Far as Kelsey Street.
I am too, Uncle Fletcher. Far as Kelsey Street.
Goodbye, Sadie.
Goodbye.
Glorious day.
Yes, isn't it?
Which concludes another brief interlude of that small house halfway up in the next block. But be sure to come along when we visit Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.
Hybrid flakes are on the air. Choose them, use them. They help stockings wear and wear. Yes, believe me, when you wash your stockings every night with new hybrid flakes, well, it sure helps those stockings last you longer. And that's something to think about these days with silk stockings getting scarcer.
Right you are. Longer wear is mighty important. And you can't find a safer, better way to take care of your nice silk stockings than nightly washing with new ivory flakes. Why, you should see the marvelous records of wear that were rolled up when we tested some lovely Belle Chamier stockings. One woman got 299 hours of hard wear. Another got even more. She got a total of 336 hours of wear from just one pair. So don't use strong soaps. Use new double-quick ivory flakes every night. Remember, 9 out of 10 leading makers of famous stockings advise new ivory flakes for both their silks and their nylons.
And 9 out of 10 can't be wrong. Oh, 9 out of 10, 9 out of 10 leading stocking makers say, use ivory flakes, new ivory flakes. You'll help stockings wear that way. Every night, new ivory flakes, and your stockings really wear.